Hey, what's up, Dutch Nation? Today on the podcast, we've got our brand new operator coach, Teal Dennis. So Teal's just had an amazing journey with this company, worked all over the place, many different roles, including assistant manager, mobster, manager, even operator. So lots of wisdom, lots of insight, lots of love. Sit back, relax, enjoy the Teal Dennis podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Teal Anderson Dennis, freshly married.
Woo!
JD wifed her up, boys. Back off.
Yeah.
Back off. Okay, Mama Squirrel also.
Oh, yeah. Got to throw that in there.
How'd that name come about?
You know, there was a group of us girls at a high school that were the Squirrel Girls, and so...
Why?
I guess if you know me, you know I'm squirrely. I can't speak for them.
Fun fact, y'all. Teal and I graduated from the same high school.
Just a couple years apart.
In Bend, Oregon. Yeah, just a couple. She was like a freshman and I was a senior in college.
Not really.
But we're Bendites.
Yeah.
Repping Bend.
I've never been.
You've never been to Bend?
No.
You live 3.5 hours away.
I know.
Your whole life.
Leaving tomorrow at 5. You ready?
Let's go.
I have never had a reason to go.
You like beer?
I love beer.
Okay, some of the best microbrews in the world,
yeah,
man.
Ever. Yeah. Has the most breweries per capita.
Well, let's go. What are we doing?
The water is just that good. Speaking of drinks, what was the first coffee you drank as a Dutchie, customer or employee? And then what do you drink currently?
Okay, this is really great. I did not like coffee. I'm just going to shamefully say this. I went for the cute boys at Dutch Bros when I was in high school. And I drank a peach mango smoothie. And the only size that we had smoothies in, which was a 16-ounce clear plastic cup.
Yeah.
No whip, no dairy, Larry.
That was the only clear plastic cup for a while, just the 16-ounce. No dairy, Larry.
And no other drinks could go in. I remember it was like a strict rule when I started. It was like, you only put smoothies in it. The days. Mate totally. Days, too.
Yeah, the yerba. So what do you drink now?
I drink a 12-ounce Fireball Americano with half a scoop of honey and heavy whip, but I am currently trying to cut the heavy whip.
Okay. Just black?
Yeah, it's real hard.
Yeah. I never did the keto thing, but, you know, don't judge me, America.
I'm not even keto. I just really like the heavy whip.
Okay, you do. Maybe I should try it.
I tried the keto diet. But my problem was I kept eating other things too. So like, I was like, well, I just packed on so much pounds. I actually went backwards.
Reverse ketosis.
Yep.
Well, let's step back a ways then. So you got hired pretty young though, right?
Yep. I was 17 in 2007. February will be my 12 years.
Crazy.
That is crazy. I've had no breaks too in Dutch.
This was in Bend, right?
This is in Bend. Yeah, the OG stand on 3rd Street. I applied when I was 15 and 16 and I kept bugging them. And my friend was Dustin and he was region all the time. And he was like, just no spots yet, no spots. And I was like, something's wrong with me. I'm like, not cool enough or something. I just am not
Bend
getting hired.
There. Sheesh.
Finally, I like convinced him to hire me. And so it was a lot of years of begging to work there.
But I mean, obviously that developed some character in you because you've been very loyal and you've gone after what you want. What was the first leadership role you had in Dutch?
I worked 6 months, 6 nights a week. I was the only like night girl alone, solo. And I just felt like I needed to master like working the night shifts and making it like super clean in there for them. Mm. And then I got recognized and they promoted me as assistant. I got kind of offered a management position, but it was in the time I was ready to move from Bend. So I ended up moving to Portland and going back to being just a barista. And then in my first real leadership position where I developed was an assistant manager for my cantina.
Yeah. In Beaverton.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Good times. How long were you there?
I was there 4 years, 4.5 years.
Yeah. It was a while, huh?
Yep. Yep.
And then the mob came calling.
Yep. So I moved back to Bend for a little bit, trying to figure out where I wanted to go and needed like a break. And I call it my dark days. I kind of got lost in myself and what I was doing in Portland. And so I knew I wanted to continue with Dutch, but I knew I needed to like step back and like recharge. So I moved back to Bend. That's when Sam Kimsey called me and was like, we are hiring for the mob. And it was something I was really interested in. So I ended up moving down here before they did interviews to Grants Pass and just waiting until they opened that mob interview up. And then I applied and got it.
Nice. I was actually there for that interview.
It's nerve-wracking. I was like sick.
When was that?
2012?
You know probably better than me at this point in the years.
This was during a time where Trav decided to just be the regional manager in Grants Pass. And I was managing a stand. It was just really interesting because he was just like, yeah, I just kind of want to be more involved locally, even though he's doing like all the everything stuff.
Everything.
Man. So meetings were like parties. And then it was like, hey, we're going to hire more mob people. And when they're not on the road, they're going to be in your shop. So I want you guys to help like pick them. So I was like part of the selection committee. I knew Teal a little bit previously. We'd met at like some grand openings and stuff. And it was like, yeah, dude, she's rad. I think she'll get it.
We'll spare them the real story of the Mark and Barry.
Oh, you got to bring that up. See, that's why I was glad Brant wasn't here.
Yeah, he literally was like,
he's not going to talk about that story.
Yeah, he's like, it is good that Brant's not here because he won't tell that story.
I thought Teal had to let that go by now.
Tell.
People don't forget.
Oh my gosh. It was a bad joke on my part. I thought it was funny, and she didn't think it was so funny.
Oh, no.
And I didn't know these people. I was like,
yeah,
this guy's
already nervous
jerk
and scared.
Let me actually use this as a learning tool right now, Dutch Nation. Because you know how sometimes you're working the window, and somebody puts out a vibe, and you're like, I'm going to tell a joke, and maybe I shouldn't tell that joke, but I think I have like a connection with this person. They'll probably laugh, and then they don't laugh. And they're kind of
like,
offended.
Welp.
And like that regular, you don't know that well yet. You shouldn't have crossed that line. That's what I did to Mama Squirrel.
Good for
okay,
you.
Okay, I forgive you. We're friends now.
We patched it up. At least I thought we did. I hoped we did. We've been friends for a while. She invited me to her wedding, so yeah. So anyway.
Moving on.
Well, then she was on the mob in GP when she was around, so I get to kick it with her for a while.
How many grand openings do you think you
oh,
did
gosh
in those days of a mobster?
You were during the era where there was a handful of you guys that were there a long time.
Yeah.
I think everyone on our team and then a few that were added after were all around for like 3 or 4 years on the mob. And I know we started, I think around like 180 and gosh, I can't think. I think we like ended around 250. So I don't know how many of those I actually did, but it was a good handful.
During that time, what were some really cool takeaways that you got just traveling different locations, different franchisees, tools, coaching style that you still use today?
Gosh, I feel like being on the mob and that like time and getting to spend that quality time with the owners, something that someone taught me early on, I want to say it was even Zach maybe that told me to keep like a notebook to ask questions, like ask good quality questions before going into those franchisee stands and having those like moments with the franchisees, asking him what is like one piece of advice you'd give me and wanting to own my own stand, and even just like being in there without them with their crews, like littlest things they did, like maybe it was their like pre-shift powwows, or maybe it was the way they like had their syrups lined up, and I would always take photos, and like I had just a huge collection of like notes and photos and everything that I knew that one day I would want to use for my own stand. And when I did become an operator, I did use a lot of that stuff, and just really appreciated someone just saying that in the beginning, like you should definitely take note wherever you go because it'll come handy later on.
Basically a sponge absorbing everything. All it takes is that one stand that does it in such an efficient way that it's like, that's the way I should do it.
Yeah.
And it just makes so much sense. Yeah, that's cool.
You go places and you're like, I don't know if that works. And you take things that like you don't want in your stand and things that you do. So it was cool because you got like to see everything on both ends of what you wanted.
Yeah. You like to travel, or at least you did.
Yeah. Still do.
Then. Yeah.
In the beginning, it was like so awesome and so much fun. And it was till the end too. But I started dating JD probably my last year being on the mob. That's when it started becoming really hard because he traveled for snowboarding. And when I was home, he was gone. And so it just became really hard on like our relationship. And luckily, he got an iPhone, so if we made FaceTime work, I don't know what I would have done if he still had that Razer flip phone. It would have been bad.
He was rocking a Razer in 2013-14.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What?
Was,
wait.
No,
what?
He really was. It was. I think I was like on a 5C at that time. I'm like, you have a Razer flip phone?
Yeah, you want to Bluetooth me some ringtones?
Our team, like, we were growing so fast, so they're hiring tons of mob at the time. So there was a few of us that joined the D-Force, and we were working.
That's right.
Like, traveling around doing that and, like, getting to see stands and, like, helping franchisees. And I think the coolest thing was when Trav challenged me to go manage Lloyd for a year. I mean, get that management experience. And I was like so terrified. I love Portland and I wanted to move back there, but I just felt super comfortable like where I was. And I felt like I loved Grants Pass and settled in so well. And I loved my job. And so I was like so nervous, and he challenged me a few times to take it. And finally I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to step outside of my comfort zone and go do that. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't have like had a better opportunity before I operated, because I feel like if I didn't go manage a stand, so many employees, so different.
Yeah.
It just challenged me in so many ways that I feel like it truly set me up to win for when I went to operate.
It was kind of that last little bar that you probably needed to hit to feel like you were like totally ready and have like 100% confidence.
Yep.
Yeah. Gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have, because I definitely remember getting coffee from you a couple times up there.
Yep.
I think Kate's picture was on the wall for a little bit there. You had like those Polaroids or whatever.
Wall.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, yeah. I should also say, like, you were pretty instrumental in me courting my wife. So thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Old Cece.
Yeah.
Can't call her that anymore.
Now she's CB.
I am so lonely.
Sorry. Sorry, Shane.
Poor Shane. Shane, my sister's single.
Oh,
really?
And she's tall.
Oh, really?
And she's funny.
But anyway, basically, so Lloyd got you ready for Everett.
Totally.
And did Trav call you personally and was like, yo, you got Everett. Go slay.
You know what? He did. It was, that interview was the craziest thing of my life. It was like so awesome. Mm-hmm. But I was like so nervous, as I think anyone would be, but it was like with the greatest people ever. I'm like, there's just no way I'm going to get this. There's just no way. Applied, and so did my really good friend Ryan. And I was like, oh, for sure he's got this. And I thought he was joking when he called and told me I got it. I was like, there's just no way. Because he was talking about how Ryan did so well. And I was like thinking like, oh my gosh, I get to call Ryan after this and like celebrate with him. I'm so stoked.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but we gave it to you. And I was like, wait, what? No, I thought, no. Yeah.
So pumped.
Yeah, stoked. And I was still managing Lloyd. At that time, I got to like finish on a good note and, you know, really get prepped. And the school thing was a shorter move than coming all the way from GP.
Sure, yeah.
So making that transition into Everett, did you have any kind of mentors or like who did you like go to for advice?
I feel like it was a ton of different people, but I really leaned on my friend Megan Neimeyer. She's actually getting a stand up in Fife right now, but we worked together many years ago for Joe Brown in Portland. And that's when like our friendship started. And she has a ton of knowledge and is really like calming when I was like nervous, or, you know, she got to be a regional over so many stands. So I felt like I got to get a lot of advice and encouragement from her through those moving times. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Megan's a rad gal.
Yeah. I'm super, super stoked for her. Location is sick. It's like right on the I-5.
I don't think I've actually ever like been into Fife, but that's all I heard was like, oh, it's a great spot though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a killer spot. I feel like it'll be number one in Washington. Here we go. Come on. Did I say that? I said it.
Bold predictions, ladies and gentlemen. Bold predictions.
So since you settled in, how is the transition from, you know, mobbing for so long and being in Grants Pass and Portland to just being in Everett?
It was, at the time, I just felt like so excited, because I have to give Ian a huge shout out. He was my new operator coach and he really like walked me through everything. And that's why I like wanted this job right now that I have, just because I think it's such a huge value to our new operators. And I really feel like I couldn't have started that stand without like the guidance that he gave me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel like it was as hard as I thought. Definitely like a lot of hours, a lot of work, but just really fulfilling like work that I did up there. So
yeah,
sick.
Just kind of hit it step by step, you know, at one chunk at a time. Obviously, the brand had recognition in the state of Washington, but not Everett. So what was some of the stuff that you did to try to spread the Dutch love in a brand new area?
We started off actually like pretty busy, and it dropped down after like a few weeks. And I think a lot of it was people were so excited about Dutch Bros coming for so long. So they'd make the trek through the week, but then they realized it's not on the routine, like, and they couldn't make it every single day in an area that doesn't have any other stands around. I mean, the closest one is Lacey. And that's like, I don't know, like 2 hours away. So
sure, yeah.
Yeah.
It was deep. So I think we did a lot of guerrilla marketing, which was so much fun, like door to door, like mailers. And it was so much fun to do with the crew and like get to connect with them that way. And I think just like building trust, a lot of people like had never seen someone outside. a lot of people would pull up to our menu and say, oh, your speaker's broken. Like, I don't need to take order on that.
Hello.
It's just funny, like, getting
like
to show.
They pull up to the sign.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The sign out in the line. You look like, in the cameras and you see them, like, yelling.
Like, oh, is everyone in there? I want a, what's an annihilator?
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice version of it.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Come on, it's a PG show.
But no, it was like so fun the early days. And I think one of my favorite things about opening a stand, I never thought about it until like being up there, but in a new stand in a new area, is the customers like didn't know Dutch. And so they didn't like expect anything. Like they didn't have any expectations. So I got to really like coach our crew on like how to give away like a birthday drink or like a bad day. Mm-hmm. And it was like so embedded in their mind that there's like this great way to make it exceptional. And it was like one of my favorite things seen over the couple years is that it never became like a, it's my first time or it's my birthday. And they're like, oh, cool, you get a free drink. Like it was always so special.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think being somewhere where there is no stands, you get the opportunity. And it was just like so phenomenal. I feel like Dane would be proud to see those kids like doing it the right way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's such a cup filler for those employees to get to see like what it is. And especially for them not knowing the Dutch Bros culture, they're like, all new to Dutch Bros too. So it's cool that they get experience that and really see what it's about.
Did you have to fire anybody?
You know, I only let a couple people go right in the beginning.
It was more like they just couldn't pick it up?
Yeah, I mean,
Or some attitude too.
Was that?
Yeah.
When I left about a month ago, it was
Alex Pogue's just like, you're all out.
You wouldn't do that.
I don't think he would either. He was on our podcast.
Yeah.
I listen to his. I shared it with the crew and they were like, oh, dad.
Yeah, that's awesome. He's dad now. That's good to hear.
Yeah, it was good. But I had 12 people from the original crew when I left 2 years later. So it was really awesome.
That's great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably a lot of that healthy turnover then.
Totally. Yeah. That was the best is like, I think I have 3 or 4 vivid ones that like actually took their dream job. Like one was like in acting, another was in the like health field. And I was just like so stoked because that's what you want, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Compelling futures.
So 2 years up in Everlit. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably a hard thing to let go of, but you did come down here. Initially, was it kind of to take Kate Lontran's role, but now it's transitioned into another new operator coach.
New operator coach, yep.
Like Ian and Charles.
Yep.
So explain that. What kind of made you want to make that move and take on this new role?
Congratulations, by the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Because that happened pretty fast.
It feels unreal. You know, I think from day one, right when I took the mob job, Trav was going to have a meeting in Bend and I had told him on the plane that he was like, where would you franchise? Like in your wildest dreams, where if could be anywhere, like in even an existing area, like where would it be? And I was like, for sure, Ben, like my family. At the time, I wasn't with JD, but that's where JD's family is. Like, that's just like where one day, like, I'd love to end up. But I just always had that in my heart that I wanted to end up back in Oregon, whether it be like Portland or Bend or Grants Pass.
Yeah.
And I kind of shared that with them. And I was very vocal about that from day one with Ian, the coach, my first coach, and then Adam. And it was never really to work back at HQ, but it was more to be an operator somewhere else. And Lance just had this wild idea that, you know, we got to replace Kate. And he called me and offered me the position. And I was like, oh, it's so hard and heavy. And it, my initial reaction was no, just because of how like invested I was in my Everett community and my crew and where I was so happy. And like, I'm going to have to say it, but I was like so comfortable like where I was. And I just was like, don't know if this is something I'd want to go do, but thinking about it more and like believing in the mob and, you know, really knowing that it's a huge value to our company, I gave it some thought and asked them some questions like, hey, you know, I'd eventually really love to be a new operator coach with Ian and Charles. I feel like that's really valuable and I'd love that to be like closer to like one or more of my like end goals. And so, you know, they beat it up, talked about it, and then they called me back and like, hey, do you have an answer yet? Because initially Lance was trying to lance me and ask me to give him an answer in one day. I was like, this
guy,
is a big decision.
That guy.
He's always
I was like,
trouble.
I'm going to need a little bit more time. So I ended up saying yes a couple weeks later. I got to talk to a lot of people and get encouraged by some people at Summit this year in Coeur d'Alene. And that really helped. That's kind of how I came to. And then Yeah. A couple days later, I had to tell my crew it was the worst day of my life.
Oh.
Heart tug.
Yeah. How did they take it?
You know, I was like, yeah! Super.
The reign of terror is over. Bye, Felicia.
Oh, no. I was like, couldn't get my words out. Like, we did at a park and we're playing kickball afterwards. And
I had told.
You try to slip it in right when you kick it. I'm leaving.
So everyone could tell I was off. And I just started choking up when I started talking. And my assistant, and who's one of my really good friends, and just some more shift leads, like rubbing my back. They're like, it's okay. And then at one point, I like start hyperventilating, crying, like the really heavy stuff.
Oh,
and they're like,
no.
My friend leans in. She's like, do you need me to tell him for you? I was like, no, I can do this. But I told him. And then while I'm talking, one of my employees was like, hey, it's okay. We see that. Like, we support you. Like, we love you no matter what. Like, we're grateful for having you. And I was just like blown away because I thought, it would be like more judgment of like, you have only been with us a couple of years. Why could you leave us kind of stuff? But I was like totally shocked and had their reaction of just being so supportive. So
that's great. Yeah.
And that makes it so much easier too.
Totally.
Yeah.
But stoked for Alex. Cause I think telling him when I did and getting to like prep him and share with them and have them all call him and get to know him through the podcast. Like, I feel like they were so excited and it really like set the tone for when he got there, them just being stoked to have a new leader in a new way and get to learn different things from him.
Yeah. Awesome. So no offense to Ian and Charles. I mean, they're great guys, but it's awesome to have a new operator coach be somebody that actually was an operator at one point. So like you now have like this little bit extra perspective that maybe they didn't have. And again, love those guys.
Yeah.
And they're deservedly in the right space. And also alongside Ian, somebody that was in the mob for a long time. So you know what that's like too, you know? So
yeah, I feel like, I mean, they've been so helpful to me because right now I am a new operator coach, but my focus is directing the mob and getting them all dialed and set up. And, you know, we're still kind of beating up hiring someone else for this, or the coaches all can take it on. We're not sure yet, but just having Ian and Charles like pour so much knowledge into me and like help me create systems and training and all the above has been a blessing.
Yeah. They've been flexing their administrative skills the last couple of years. Kind of with that being said, primarily a lot of the focus being on the mob before you start taking on new regional operators, especially since we're going to be ramping that number up soon, like hiring a lot, right?
Yeah, a lot.
So yeah, if there's a aspiring mobster out there listening, what should they expect?
I would say if you're like really wanting to join the mob, but you're not sure, being comfortable, being uncomfortable and really trying to like put yourself in a new area just because you want to grow. Like if the purpose is for growth, then you're going to have to put yourself out there and be willing to, you know, learn new things and sleep less. Honestly, I hate to say it.
Hey, they're young for the most part.
Yeah. They're going to be great. But just, I think getting uncomfortable with the idea of being gone for long periods of time, but really like the greater purpose is to make an impact on these new broistas. The coolest thing about the mob is that they're shaping the next generation of broistas. And the whole time, like their challenge is to not lose our amazing like Dutch culture we have. So it's a huge task to like take on. So I think if you're willing to put yourself out there and travel for those long periods of time and grow, then
got to be vulnerable.
Totally.
Yes. So Night Gal in Bend, assistant manager, barista in Beaverton, Portland, assistant manager, mob.
I know it's long.
D-Force, manager Lloyd, operator, overseeing the mob / new operator coach. Now, what of all those periods of your life, professionally especially, were the most challenging?
Oh, gosh. I think the most challenging was that year at Lloyd. Mm. And I really feel like that helped me being an operator. And I feel like I did grow a ton being an operator. I just feel like the HQ has it so well set up to be an operator. It has so many tools and is really good at guiding you through it. Whereas when I was a manager at Lloyd, we didn't really have like a regional per se. I felt on my own and it was like I had to like try new things. I had to challenge myself on my own. And I did have like people I leaned to, like Kevin Murphy was awesome. I did talk to Ian and Megan and stuff, but it was really like the biggest challenge to take on that beast.
Yeah.
The mod bar.
The mod bar. Oh my gosh. You poor, poor thing.
I remember that.
That's my favorite t-shirt to sleep in is the mod bar t-shirt.
You should have been given you should have been given like six locations just for having to endure that.
Oh gosh.
But
thank you. We had two of them.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, they're nifty looking, but it's like, okay, apparently these things just don't work.
No. Yeah.
And then when we had them in there forever and people would come in and be like, hey, what is this? Like, can you fire back up? And you're like,
no.
No.
Nope.
No. Or then people like are like, oh, that's cool. And then like the next week, they're like, can you just make me a coffee on the normal machine? Yeah. Like, that sucks.
We had to battle a grand opening on two of those.
On mod bars, yeah. And none of us had ever used one ever. In the company's
history. And
Tampin
days.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. But you know, came out the other side.
Here we are.
You're always
here
on your feet.
Are. So what's next for Teal?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Like, what am I working on right now?
Like, what fills your cup outside of DB?
Okay, I have something huge on the horizon. Okay. My brother-in-law makes snowboards in Bend, Oregon, and he's making JD and I a split board. So this year, my challenge outside of Dutch Bros is to start split boarding up mountains so I can ride them down.
Wow.
On a snowboard. And I'm really nervous, but very excited.
That'll keep you in some serious shape, though.
For sure.
Dang. I did hike Bachelor once after the snow had melted during a summer.
Most beautiful view.
Yeah, it was pretty tight. I was in good shape back then. It's only 5 years ago. It seems like forever.
Never too late.
But dude, 35 to 30 is like a lifetime as far as physically. Just use that split board. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Who have been some of the biggest influences in your life? I know you kind of touched on like some of the people that have helped you along the way, Megan and Ian and Murphy and some of those guys. But as far as just doesn't even necessarily have to be professionally, but just in your life.
I got a shout out to my really good friend, Sam Moore, because this last like 3 years, I feel like anything, life, Dutch Bros, even though she doesn't work at Dutch anymore, like I feel like I can call her for anything.
Yeah.
And she just pours into me, even when I'm like not seeking it.
Yeah.
She'll like reach out to me and be like, you know, like God's put this on my heart. I really feel like I need to like talk to you about something and really encourage me in ways that like I never have experienced from any friend I've ever had. So
did she tell you I beat her in volleyball?
The facts are a little skewed.
I don't even on YouTube, know if it went down so, like that.
You know, no big deal.
She was definitely one of the funnest podcasts I got to record. She's great. Yeah.
She is a ball of energy.
Yeah.
If you guys want to be a mobster, hit me up.
But, oh, gosh.
<We're hiring>.
Really? Yeah, okay. Do we just say your email?
Or? No.
Her number is...
No. We're going to be... Actually, your guys' team is awesome and made a really cool mob video. We're going to be posting Keep Your Eyes Peeled on the official Dutch page for a mob recruiting video.
Hey. Yeah. Well, Shane, I think we've taken up enough of our time.
Yeah. So, Teal, we always like to end this the same way. If you could give one piece of advice to our barista audience or just our audience in general, what would it be?
I think I already said this. I really, truly believe that you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable if you want to grow in this life. And putting yourself out there and like making those connections with people that you know are going to help you grow is going to be so important in your life. So,
dope.
Right on.
Love it.
Love you guys.
Yeah. Love you, Teal. Thanks for being here. Yeah. Teal Dennis.
You can call me Teal Dank.
Teal Dank. That's so Oregonian. Welcome back. But Dutch Nation, yeah. Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
And join the mob.
Join that mob. We need a lot of them.
Just do it. Just do it.
Okay, love you, Dutch Nation.
Love you guys.
Love ya.